listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase, and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart, does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul.
Thank you.
Reading today from Jeremiah chapter 14, beginning with verse 13. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, Ye shall not see the sword, neither shall ye have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. Then the Lord said unto me, The prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination, and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart. Therefore thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name, I sent them not, yet they say, Sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine shall these prophets be consumed. And the people to whom they prophesy shall be cast out into the streets of Jerusalem, because of the famine and the sword, and they shall have none to bury them, their wives, nor their sons, nor their daughters, for I will pour their wickedness upon them. Therefore they say this word unto them, Let mine eyes run down with tears night and day, and let them not cease, for the virgin daughter of my people is broken with a great breach, with a grievous blow. If I go forth into the field, then behold the slain with the sword. And if I enter into the city, then behold them that are sick with famine. Yea, both the prophet and the priest go about into a land that they know not. Hast thou utterly rejected Judah? Hath thy soul loathed Zion? Hast thou smitten us, and there is no healing for us? We looked for peace, and there is no good, and for the time of healing, and behold trouble. We acknowledge, O Lord, our wickedness and the iniquity of our fathers, for we have sinned against thee. Do not abhor us for thy name's sake. Do not disgrace the throne of thy glory. Remember, break not thy covenant with us. Are there any among the vanities of the Gentiles that can cause rain, or can the heavens give showers? Art not thou he, O Lord, our God? Therefore we will wait upon thee, for thou hast made all these things. Then said the Lord unto me, Though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people. Cast them out of my sight, and let them go forth. Let's pray that these very pertinent words, some sad, some hopeful, but mainly sad, may be understood by us today, not only in what did take place then, but what has and is taking place today in some lands, what can take place in all lands, and the great judgments that will come before the end of time. Shall we pray? Our Father, we give thanks that we can come to a throne of grace to find help in time of need. We pray, Father, that it may not yet be with us as this time here. And as we read last week, pray not for this people, that when they make many prayers, thou wilt not hear. We know there comes a time, Father, when men are given over to a reprobate mind, given over to the place there is no hope. And we pray that we may not have in that way sinned willfully, that there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, as Paul could write to the Hebrews. We pray, Father, for thy blessing on this word. We pray for blessing on all of thy word wherever it is heard. We pray also that soon the word, particularly the word of the gospel, may be sent to those that are not yet hearing the Holy Scriptures, and particularly the good news of Christ dying for our sins, rising again, and being now seated on thy right hand, making intercession for us. We pray, Lord Jesus, that we may be included in that blessed number. We pray for these spiritual things first. We pray for those who have afflictions in the body, those that are sick, injured, hungry, homeless, the aged, the troubled homes. We pray, Father, for thy mercy on all of them and others beside our suffering, especially those that suffer for thy name's sake. Through Christ we do pray. Amen. As we continue with this message of Jeremiah, having come back to it again last week, I would like to think of especially Jeremiah's complaint in verse 13, "Ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, ye shall not see the sword, neither shall ye have famine, but I will give you an assured peace in this place." This was the message of many of the prophets. The prophets that said, the law will not depart from the prophets, nor from the priest. They thought they were the people, and they could pass judgment on what was taking place, what would take place. But they did not have the mind of the Lord. God said of these prophets, I have not sent them. They prophesy a false vision of divination and a thing of naught and the deceit of their heart. On the one hand, we could say, well, these prophets thought that. But we read here the deceit of their heart. We can read earlier of the prophets in the beginning history of Jeremiah. We read there in the 5th chapter, the 30th verse, a wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? We also see in the next chapter, chapter 6, a continuation of the same message. The 14th verse, they have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there was no peace. That was the message then of the prophets that God did not send. They had a vision of their own heart. Oftimes, things are said that preachers or prophets or teachers, or professors, know the people want to hear. And as we read, the people loved to have it so. The preacher said so. I can remember a man once, when he was under conviction of sin, troubled. He said, I went to the preacher, and he told me that was just of the devil, that it wasn't to be concerned about. And he made much the same statement. He made me feel good. Yes, preachers can make people feel good in a wrong way. That it is not the peace of God that passeth all understanding. It is not the peace of God that comes by faith through our Lord Jesus Christ. We as sinners, he as Savior, we guilty, and he dying in our stead. Then there can be a peace if we know that from the true preaching of the word that calls us to repentance, calls us to submission before God, calls us to acknowledge we are lost and guilty and under judgment, rightly so. Then there can be peace with God through Christ. There could be that at this time. All through all ages had to have peace with God through Christ. These Jews at this time had to see the fulfilling of the sacrifices in Christ. They had to believe what God had said to Abraham, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And as the Lord Jesus said, Abraham saw my day and was glad. And all those that followed after Abraham, all the way here to this time of Jeremiah, to these two tribes which were left. The other 10 tribes had already been punished and taken out of the land, scattered. And now Judah was next. Yes, next. God's judgment would fall. Jeremiah complained not only about the prophets, but he was sad. He said, "Therefore thou shalt say this word unto them, let mine eyes run down with tears night and day, and let them not cease, for the virgin daughter of my people is broken with a great breach and a very grievous blow." He said, "If I go to the field, I see the dead bodies that were slain with the sword." The soldiers of Nebuchadnezzar had come, and those that would be out away from the city would be killed. And he said, "If I go in the city, I see those who have died of the famine. No food was allowed in. They were starving." God's judgment was already falling. But the false prophets didn't believe it would last. Didn't believe it would get worse. Didn't believe the whole land would be destroyed. Didn't believe the rest of them would be carried captive that were left, the remnant. Thought the other captives that were already there, including Daniel, Ezekiel, and others, would be soon brought back. They said the captivity is short. It was not short. It would be 70 years. Later, Daniel believed it and prayed on it so that God would hear his prayer and send them back. He confessed the sins of the people at this time. Yes, he and the fathers. But today I would like again to especially think of the prophets. The prophets say unto them, "You shall not see the sword, neither shall ye have famine, but I will give you an assured peace in this place." Then God himself told Jeremiah, as we can read in verse 14, "Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name." The God of truth was being used, literally blasphemed, giving lies and saying, "Thus saith the Lord." God said, "I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto a false vision, a thing of naught. Nothing will come of what these prophets were saying, even though the people loved to hear it and were put at ease for a time. Yes, they were put at ease till they would die by the sword or by the famine or being carried away captive. One of the three, death also in other ways, death by pestilence, death by the noisome beast, all that would come. God said so." Yes, God spoke those words already by Jeremiah now for about 28 years. Had prophesied, and it was being fulfilled, and it would all be fulfilled further. Whatever God says is true. What has happened, what is happening, and what will happen. We don't seem to understand any of it. One of the things that has happened is, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Most of the educators say, "Not so. We don't believe it. God said it. The heavens declare it." They agree in their wonder, in their beauty, in the fulfillment. For these 6,000 years, there has been springtime, seed time, and harvest over and over and over. Yes, more or less, but God said, it will continue. And it's being done today. Yes, some countries may be under judgment for a time. Other countries have to send food and feed them. But there has been seed time and harvest somewheres. And if it's distributed right, generally enough. We have bounty, bounty, bounty in this country. Food goes to waste. It's terrible. Garbage cans are full. It's a shame. Others don't have it, and they die. It's not that there's not enough in the world. And even those places, oftentimes, where there is a lack of food, when it's sent there, it's fought over. It's misused. It's sometimes even kept from the people by evil leaders and sent to other countries. This has happened. I won't mention the names or the times, but it has happened. It's happened even under the wicked guidance of some people in our country that think more of evil leaders and wicked ways than of our own country, the kind of government that God has given us. Yes, God gave us what we have. Will we recognize it? Will we glorify God in it? Will we submit to God? Will we want again the faith of our fathers? Will we want, as God told Jeremiah, when he also spoke of the false prophets later on? We read of it earlier. We read of it this time. And we can read of it a little later, a number of years later. Jeremiah was again speaking about 2 or 3 years later. We read, how long will this be in this heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of deceit of their own heart. Reading from Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 26. Which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that hath the dream, let him tell a dream, and he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? The chaff is going to blow away. The wheat will remain. Then God gives a picture of his word, the true word, God's word. Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Yes, that's God's word. And then God comes back to describing the prophets who had their own word, the deceitful word, to take away the name of the Lord. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words every one from his neighbor. Many today are learned men. They've learned from others. I have much admiration for the Puritans, the men of the past that try to purify the church, and we have much of their writings. Once I spoke to a man, he didn't agree with all the truth as I believe we should see it. But then he made this statement concerning those Puritans. He says, well, I preach some of my best sermons from them, taking their books, taking their message, even calling it his best sermons, but not agreeing with them in the narrowness of the way, in the God-exalting way, in his grace through Christ, in the repentance and faith that needs to be preached faithfully. Yes. Therefore I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. Lies and lightness. There's much today that could better be called entertainment than doing like Paul said to Timothy, preach the word. In season, out of season. Yes, preach the word. There's no lightness there. Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh a rock in pieces? That's the word of God. Paul describes it as sharper than any two-edged sword. When the Lord Jesus himself was on earth and spoke, he spoke with authority and not as the scribes. There's too much that can rightly be called lightness. And what happens? Yes, as we read before, people love to have it so, but what is the end thereof? They shall not profit this people at all. No profit in the word that people might like to hear for the moment, like to hear for the present. Cry peace, peace when there's no peace. Or as they said to Isaiah, speak smooth things. Or further, as Paul said to Timothy, the day will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Yes, as I said a moment ago, there's much that's simply entertainment. Make people laugh. Entertain them. Jeremiah said, I had to weep. God said by James, let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. There is a time for laughter. There is a time for rejoicing. But when we think of the sadness of so much of today, the sadness of the church, divided, lightness, lies, will not endure sound doctrine, heaping to themselves teachers. Where there's entertainment, there's numbers. Where there's truth, there's few that attend. And sadly, many places of those who want the truth cannot find it. It's gone. Churches that have preached in the past no longer hold to those blessed truths of the faith of their fathers, the Word of God. All of that is changing, sadly, in ways that should make us weep. I am against the prophets that prophesy false dreams, that do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Cause my people to err. Preach lightly, and the people live lightly, loosely. It's done, and we need to do it. There's other ways also which we should be concerned about. The Lord Jesus said of some, you will add men with burdens too heavy to be borne, but do not touch them with one of your fingers. That's where the truth is preached but not lived. It's in hypocrisy. Last night we sang a song, and it was the title, His Way With Thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see 'twas best for him to have his way with thee. And I thought as we were singing it, we're kind of singing it to each other. But each one of us should say, His power can make me what I ought to be. His blood can cleanse my heart and make me free. His love can fill my soul and I will see 'twas best for him to have his way with me. Can you say that too?
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord, let the people